Right, tonight, if you'd please take your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're going to start tonight at verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. I'm going to read verse 18 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go back and look at these verses together. The Bible says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now, if you have your notes with you, you might notice on the top of the very first page, the title of this chapter is Man's Apostasy from God. Man's Apostasy from God. Verses 1 to 7 was the salutation. That's basically the introduction to this letter. And then verses 8 to 17, the explanation. Here Paul gives the reasons why he wanted to come to them and haven't been able to yet. And then verses 18 to 32, where we're going to deal tonight, this is the condemnation. All right? In all of this letter, and especially here in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul is trying to give the reason that man needs to be redeemed. And the reason man needs to be redeemed is what we see in verses 18 to 32. What you see as you go through these verses is a downward spiral that mankind is making throughout history. And also sometimes you'll see it in individual lives. If you notice this with me, and I highlighted this on my notes this afternoon just to review with you, this downward spiral. First of all, they knew God. That's verses 18, 19, and 20. And then secondly, they glorified him not as God, verses 21 to 23. And thirdly, they changed the truth of God, verses 24 and 25. And then eventually, of course, they rejected the knowledge of God, verses 26 to 32. This is the downward spiral or the downward progression that humans make when they don't come to know the Lord as their Savior, when they're left to themselves. I know that we've talked about this before, and I think about this often. Maybe you do too. Where would I be had the Lord not interrupted my life and saved me? I could be dead. That's a very good possibility. I could be dead. Or I could be in some very, very bad place. because the natural progression of my life was going the wrong way. And it was heading into more and more sinfulness and more wickedness, which is kind of what we see here in verses 18 to 32. You notice here the Bible says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." Now, wait a minute. I thought he was a God of love. Oh, he is a God of love, isn't he? Compassion, forgiveness, long-suffering, all that. But he also is a God of wrath. And the Bible makes that clear in many places. You see here it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That's an amazing statement when you think about holding the truth in unrighteousness. Do we in America have the truth of God? Oh, yes, we do. It's all around us. It's here by way of printed page. Of course, we have the Bible. Anybody here have more than one copy of the Bible? Oh, a lot of us do, right? I do too. I have copies here. I have copies at the house. I have it on my phone. Okay? We have lots of copies of God's Word. It is not only available to us, but it's available to others also. I wish we had what we used to have a few years back. It wasn't that long ago. Where we had Christian bookstores that were more prevalent than today. You've got to search high and low to try to find one. You almost can't. If you want to order something, you have to go online to do that. But I wish we had the Christian bookstores again like we used to have. But it is available. It is available by printed page. Of course, we have the Bibles and tracts and literature and so forth. It's available on television. It's available on the radio. It's available on the internet. In America, we have the gospel. The word of God is there. The truth of God is available. And notice the Bible says here about people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They have it, but they're walking in unrighteousness. And God says here his wrath is revealed from heaven against that, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I believe this. I'm guessing many of you do. God's going to judge America very strictly. You know, the Bible says this in the New Testament, "To whom much is given, much shall be required." America's been given much, not only physically and materially, but America's been given much spiritually speaking. And we're going to be held accountable for that, of course. But to have the truth of God and the wisdom of God and the word of God, to have that and yet live in unrighteousness, God is going to reveal his wrath against all that. And here's why, verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." That's your conscience. Every man has a conscience. And we know right from wrong. Little children from the earliest ages, when you catch them doing something wrong, they know that was wrong. Now, after time, of course, their conscience can become, in the New Testament it says, seared, you know, numbed beyond feeling. But in the beginning of their life, they know they've done wrong when they do wrong. And that's because they have a conscience. And everybody has that conscience. "That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them," verse 20, "for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." So we also have creation, conscience, verse 19, and creation, verse 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Why do they, you know who they is, right? Why do they keep trying to tell us that the world just evolved over billions and billions of years? It's because they want us to believe that you'll never have to answer to a God who made everything. Oh, but there is a God who made everything. And we will have to answer to him. Which is why they try so hard to deny that, see? But our conscience and creation all around us shows us that there is a God in heaven and that we're going to have to answer to him. And you notice right at the end of verse 20, "so that they are without excuse." They're without excuse. Verse 21, "because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, again, keep in mind, this is a downward progression that man is making. He knew that there was a God, but he wouldn't glorify him as God, and he wasn't thankful for all the good things that God has given him. Instead, became vain in his imaginations. And what happens because he became vain in his imaginations and wouldn't be thankful and wouldn't glorify God as God? What happened? His foolish heart was darkened. His foolish heart was darkened. Vain thinking and foolish reasoning actually causes us to get harder and harder against the Lord. We see this, didn't we, in the Old Testament book of Exodus with Pharaoh, how each time he rejected God's pleas through Moses, his heart got harder and harder. And it got to the point after a while where the Bible says God hardened his heart. But early on, Pharaoh was hardening his heart, see? And that's how it is with mankind also. The farther man gets away from God, the harder his heart gets and the darker his heart gets. You know the best time to get saved? Today. Right now. That's right. And the earlier the better. Statistics prove that most people get saved early in life. As people get older and older, there's fewer and fewer folks that get saved. And it goes right along with here with Romans chapter 1. And you notice verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, the Bible says they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. The description here of these people is that they're going downwards. They were indifferent towards the Lord. They practiced ingratitude towards the Lord. They were ignorant of God and God's word. And of course, what ends up then is idolatry, verse 23. They end up in changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Remember this, I'm sure you do. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't put God into an image. By the way, he doesn't fit. No, he doesn't fit. I don't care what image you use. I mean, you could do like Nebuchadnezzar and make this 90-foot tall image. You can't fit God into an image. He's the uncorruptible God. But that's what corruptible man does. They try to put God into an image like man or birds or four-footed beasts or creeping things. And because of that, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice here that God gave them over. God gave them up. I'm sorry. God gave them up to uncleanness. You know, it's sinful uncleanness, wickedness, evil. God gave them up to uncleanness through, what? The lust of their own hearts. James makes that very clear also. It's not that we are so wonderful because we're not. Every one of us without Christ are very evil and wicked and corruptible. And we are very vile. Only Jesus can clean us up and make us fit for heaven. And it isn't anything within us, it's all him. All right? But the uncleanness and the lust of our own hearts, if we're left to that, we're going to do just what verse 24 says. We're going to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. By the way, the word change there comes from a word today we might say exchanged. In other words, you had one thing, but you traded it for something else. You changed the truth of God for a lie, or you changed the truth of God into a lie. It's an exchange that takes place. You'd rather have the lie. And it reminds me so much of what we read recently in Isaiah. Prophesy not unto us the truth. You know, prophesy unto us smooth things. You know, tell us the things we want to hear. Don't tell us the truth of God. That's the same idea. Changing the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Just think. And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. By the way, the creature is not just an animal. The creature could be you. Worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, because they did this, God gave them up unto vile affections. Well, you know, you Bible-believing Christians, you keep wanting to tell us that homosexuality is wrong and lesbianism is wrong. And, you know, that's all Old Testament. No, friend, it's New Testament also. Did you notice what God calls that here? Vile affections. No, it's not natural affections. Now, you may disagree with me what I'm going to say next, but here it comes. You weren't born that way. You weren't born that way. You chose to go that direction because of what we're reading right here. See? You chose to go that way. God didn't make you that way. No, I'm sorry. And it's a vile affection. That's what the Lord said. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. And then he goes on to describe it. For even the women didn't change the natural use into that which is against nature. Notice it's against nature. Let me say it one more time. It's against nature. Oh, Pastor, it's just natural. No, it's not. The Bible says it's against nature. And likewise also the men. By the way, the women, that's lesbianism. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is, what's that next word? Unseemly. Again, it's against nature, all right? It's against nature. It's wrong. It's vile. It's unnatural. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. And notice this, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. In other words, they got paid back for what they're doing, and you're not going to enjoy what happens next. You know, but it's the natural. It's like, you know, you put in this and you get out that. Well, you put in this bad behavior, you get out the results that happen, such as STDs and, you know, other things that happen. That's the natural result of disobeying God. And it all started way back earlier when they wouldn't recognize God as God and wouldn't worship Him as God and exchange the truth of God for a lie and all those kind of things. Well, this is the result right here. And they receive in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. They worship the creature more than the Creator. They worship man instead of God. They worship things instead of Christ. And because of that, God gives them up to their own sinful, wicked desires. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, you know, don't tell us about God. We don't want to hear that. In fact, as we'll do everything we can to try to silence you. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, what happens? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. Again, not convenient. The wording here is so descriptive, isn't it? I mean, God gives us His view on all these things. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know, when a person gets to a reprobate mind, there's not a whole lot of good things that are going to happen with their life. But there's also not a huge chance that they'll ever come back. You can reach the point of no return. You can reach the point of no return. Because God gives you over to a reprobate mind, useless, debased, evil, wicked mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then he goes on to describe some things here. Being filled, this is what happens in the reprobate mind, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Let me just pause for a minute and ask this. You think any of this was going on with Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes. Oh, I think it was. I think it pretty much characterized Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think any of this was going on in the days just prior to the flood? Oh, I think it was. You know, man's heart was only thinking about evil things continually. God had given them over. Isn't it interesting how, you know, the flood didn't change it. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't change it. We're all the way up to today. Men are still, and women are still doing the same wicked, evil things. I was going to add another word in there, but being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, you know, sexual sins, in other words, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, It's interesting, some of the words that are in here, like covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Notice all the things that are lumped in here. Despiteful, proud, boasters. Look at me. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Isn't that interesting that that's put in there? Without understanding. Covenant breakers. In other words, they don't keep their word. Doesn't matter if they sign their name to it or not. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Do you love your children? Yes. Do you love your grandchildren? Amen. You know, that's natural affection. But there are folks that don't have that. Strange as it seems. But see, when God gives you over, because you've reached that point of no return, God gives you over, well, you even lose that. Without natural affection. Implacable. Implacable. You don't... I think it's the idea of not being able to look over things or forgive things or look past things, you know. They're implacable. Unmerciful. No mercy. And then verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They know this deep down inside, see. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Look at this. Not only do the same, not only are they involved in these behaviors, but have pleasure in them that do them. They enjoy it when somebody else joins them in this behavior. They relish that. They enjoy that when they can lead somebody else down the wrong path, you see. So this downward progression in your notes here, they knew God, verses 18 to 20. They glorified him not as God, verses 20 to 23. They changed the truth of God, verses 24 and 25. And then they end up rejecting the knowledge of God. Notice this last section here. The rejection of God by man, notice the wording, the rejection of God by man was first. They began with a clear knowledge of God, verses 19 to 21. They began with a knowledge of God's judgment on sin, according to verse 32. But they end up not wanting any knowledge of God, verse 28. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. The rejection of man by God was the result. Please catch this now. The rejection of God by man was first. The rejection of man by God was the result. Question for all of us. Can anyone be saved? Yes. Yes. It's open to everyone. Just look around here real quick. I don't think he'd mind me telling you this, but I've been meeting with Jake on Mondays in the afternoon, and we were going over some things this last Monday, and he wanted to know my opinion about people in different churches and maybe different areas of the world and so forth. You know, can they be saved? And I said, oh, yes. You don't have to be a Baptist to be saved. I said, in fact, you know, there's some Baptists, of course, that won't be. But anybody can be saved if they'll ask forgiveness for their sin and take Jesus as their personal Savior, they can be saved. He was really glad to hear that. Maybe because of family or friends, I'm not really, really, really sure why, but I want you to know anyone can be saved. But here's another question. Will everybody be saved? No. No. In fact, my own personal belief, and I think this is right biblically, but I think there'll be more people in hell than there will be in heaven. Why do you believe that? Because the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. In the north, many are cold and a few are frozen. But anyway, many are called, but few are chosen. Does God want everybody to be saved? Yes. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. But will everybody be saved? No, because they will reject God. And because they reject God, God will reject them. This is one thing that I mentioned to Jake and I've mentioned to others through the years, and that is that because man rejects God, man won't get to go to heaven. And by the way, that's the only reason that man does not get to go to heaven, because he rejected God. It's not because he smoked. It's not because he drank liquor. It's not because he experimented with drugs. It's not because he fooled around with prostitutes. It's not because, I could list 101 different things. One thing and one thing alone keeps people out of heaven, and that's rejecting Christ as your Savior. That's the only thing. That's your fault. See? Man rejects God, and therefore God rejects man. And it's very important that we understand that. Notice here in your notes here, scientists, this is right under the rejection of man by God was the result. Scientists would have us believe that man has evolved from primitive, ignorant, beast-like forms to be the marvelous creature he is today. The Bible actually teaches that man began as the highest of God's creatures and made himself into a beast. Notice the judgment of God upon man who has rejected God. According to verse 24 and 25, God gave them up to uncleanness and idolatry. Verse 26 and 27, God gave them over to vile passions. And verses 28 to 32, God gave them over to a reprobate or disapproved mind. So you see the steps there. Not only do they do these things themselves, but they also encourage others to do these same things and then take pleasure in them when they do. It's the strangest thing sometimes, but men and women involved in wickedness are not content to be involved in that alone. They try to drag others into that cesspool with them.
Misery loves company.
Misery loves company. Yes, sir, that's exactly what it is. You and I, by the way, we're on the opposite end of the spectrum. Let's work as hard as they do to get people onto God's side. Amen? Let's not be satisfied to be here by ourselves, but invite others to come join us. So, last statement here on your notes. No wonder Paul states clearly in this chapter that man's only hope is the gospel of Christ. Chapter 1 shows us man's apostasy from God. I think with all my heart that God loves people, all people, and he wants all people to be saved. Not all will be, but only by their own choice. Only by their own choice. And I was thinking about this earlier today. I'm so very glad that God interrupted my life with the gospel, because the direction I was headed was not a good direction. I know I told you this, but 51 years ago, he came into my life, and boy, what a change has been made. I'm so glad he did. I love him for that. I thank him for that. What a difference Christ has made in my life, and I'm sure in yours as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to look into your word tonight. It's so simple. It's so clear. If we would just read the scriptures and understand what it says, it isn't that God rejected man first. No, man rejected God first. And because man rejects God, then God rejects man. It's really, Jesus did his part. God did his part. God even sends the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and show us we're lost. Oh, that men would respond. Oh, that men and women, boys and girls would respond to the pleading of the Holy Spirit. If they would, they could be genuinely saved. Lord, help us to be a witness and a testimony for you. Bless this lesson now that we've given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.